Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechas Erevin, Daf Pei Vav. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. The Gemara relates Rebbe Mekabed Ashirim, Rebbe Kiva Mekabed Ashirim. Both Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva would show respect to wealthy people. As Rabbi Barmari expounded from the verse, Yishev Olim Fnei Alkim, Chetz Ve'emes, Man Yitzaruhu. May he, referring to a king, sit forever before Hashem, appoint kindness and truth that they preserve him. Amos say Yishev Olim Fnei Alkim, when is the world properly settled before Hashem? When there are kindness and ample provisions for the poor, this preserves the world. Rashi explains that the word man means provisions. Since the rich provide for the poor and sustain the world, they deserve covet. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Hamaniach beis v'hal chlishbos be'ir acheres, one who left his house and went to spend Shabbos in another town. Reb Meir says, whether he's a Nachri that didn't rent out his rights, or a Jew who didn't join in the Erev, he restricts use of the chatzer. Rashi explains that Rebbe Meir holds dir b'lobal mishma dira, a residence without owners present on Shabbos is considered a residence. Rebbe Yehuda says he does not restrict since he holds dir b'lobal mishma dira. Rebbe Yossi holds that a Nachri does restrict and a Jew doesn't. Rashi explains that Rebbe Yossi holds like Rebbe Yehuda except that there's a concern that the Nachri will return on Shabbos. It's unlikely, however, that a Jew will return on Shabbos. Rebbe Shimon says that even if the Jew went to spend Shabbos with his daughter in the same town, he's unlikely to return because Shekvar hisiya malibo, he's already dismissed returning from his mind. Rav said that the lach is a Reb Shimon when he visits his daughter, but not for one who visits his son. Rashi explains that he has in mind that he might need to return home if he gets into a fight with his daughter-in-law. A fight with his son-in-law, however, can be endured. And point number three, in the next Mishnah regarding Bor Sheben Shtei Chatzeros, a system between two Chatzeros, partially in one Chatzer and partially in the other, Reb Yehuda says, Lotehe mechitza gdol min hakosu shebeneim. A mechitza should not be more effective than the wall, which is already between the chetzeros. Rashi explains, the Reb Yehuda holds that a wall passing over the cistern is sufficient to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity. Rabbi Bar Bachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yehuda's ruling is in accordance with the opinion Rabbi Yossi holds, mechitza tzluya materas afilo b'yabasha. A suspended partition permits carrying over dry land, such as in the case of a sukkah wall that's woven from the top that's 3 tefachim from the ground. Rabbi Yossi holds it extends downwards and is valid. The Gemara rejects this suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would only apply the principle to a Darabanan, such as Erevin, but not to a Daraisa, such as Sukkah. And perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply it to a Sukkah, which is an Isser Aseh, but not to the matter of Shabbos, which is an Isser Skila. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara relates Rebbe Mekabed Ashirim, Rebbe Kiva Mekabed Ashirim. Both Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva would show respect to wealthy people, as Rabbi Barmari expounded from the verse, Yeshiva Olim Fnei Alkim, Chetzev Emes Man Yitzaruhu. May he, referring to a king, sit forever before Hashem. Appoint kindness and truth that they preserve him. Emes HaYeshiv Olim Fnei Alkim, when is the world properly settled before Hashem? V'zman Shechetzev Emes Man Yitzaruhu, when there are kindness and ample provisions for the poor, this preserves the world. Rashi explains that the word man means provisions. Since the rich provide for the poor and sustain the world, they deserve covet. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Hamniach beis v'hal chlishbos be'ir acheres, one who left his house and went to spend Shabbos in another town. Rabbi Meir says whether he's a Nachri that didn't rent out his rights or a Jew who did not join in the Erev, he restricts use of the chatzer. Rashi explains that Rabbi Meir holds dir b'lobal mishma dira, a residence without owners present on Shabbos is considered a residence. Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't restrict since he holds dir b'lobal mishma dira. Rabbi Yossi holds that a Nachri does restrict and a Jew doesn't. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Yehuda, except that there is a concern that the Nachri will return on Shabbos. It's unlikely, however, that a Jew will return on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says that even if the Jew went to spend Shabbos with his daughter in the same town, he's unlikely to return because Shekvar hisiya malibo. He's already dismissed returning from his mind. Rav said that the lach is like Rabbi Shimon when he visits his daughter, but not for one who visits his son. Rashi explains that he has in mind that he might need to return home if he gets into a fight with his daughter-in-law. A fight with the son-in-law, however, can be endured. And point number three, in the next Mishnah regarding Bor Sheben Shtei Chatzeros, a system between two Chatzeros, partially in one Chatzer and partially in the other, Rav Yehuda says, Lotei Mechitza Gedola Min HaKosel Shebeneim. A Mechitza should not be more effective than the wall, which is already between the Chatzeros. Rashi explains that Rav Yehuda holds that a wall passing over the cistern is sufficient to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity. Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Rav Yochanan, the Rabbi Yehuda's ruling is in accordance with the opinion Rabbi Yossi holds, Mechitza Tzluya Materas Afil B'Yabasha. A suspended partition permits carrying over dry land, such as in the case of a sukkah wall that is woven from the top that is 3 tefachim from the ground. where Rabbi Yossi holds it extends downwards and is valid. The Gemara rejects his suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would only apply the principle to a Darabban, such as Erevin, but not to a Doraisa, such as Sukkah, and perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply to a Sukkah, which is an Isser Aseh, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an Isser Skila. All right, so now we go to the Siman for Daf Pei Vav, and the Siman is police. Police, so here goes. The police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his Darnua, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos, over the question whether a wall passing over a cistern legally divides the water between them. Once again, in slow motion. The police, that must be Ron Daf Pei Vav. The police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, which reminds us that both Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva would show wealthy people respect, and that the wealthy deserve kavod because they provide for the poor and help sustain the world. So the police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his daughter-in-law, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos, which reminds us the Malchus regarding one who goes away for Shabbos, if dira b'lobal mishma dira, if there's a concern that a Nachri might return home, and that someone staying with a daughter-in-law has a mind he might need to go home on Shabbos if they get into some type of quarrel. So the police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between a wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his daughter-in-law, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos, over the question whether a wall passing over a cistern legally divides the water between them. Which reminds us that even though Rabbi Yehuda held that a water over a cistern legally divides the water, it doesn't necessarily mean that he agrees with Rabbi Yossi, who held Mechitza Tuluya Materis in a case of a sukkah, and that Rabbi Yossi would not necessarily agree with Rabbi Yehuda in the case of the cistern. So once again, the police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between a wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his daughter-in-law, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos, over the question whether a wall passing over a cistern legally divides the water between them. All right, so now we go to our four blot back Chazara. Daf Pei Beis. So the Simmer Daf Pei Beis is a pub. So here goes. The pub owner, that must be Ron Daf Pei Beis. The pub owner was outraged that the Erev Tchumim Setup Committee forgot to inform him about the existence of the Erev, which reminds us. The opening mission of the 8th parak discusses setting up communal eruv tchumim and states, it's permitted to be used by whomever accepted to have his makom shvisa at the site of the Erev while it's still day. But if you only accepted it after dark, he's prohibited, for one cannot make an Erev after dark. The Gemara suggests that the ruling that the Erev must be accepted while it's still day implies ein brera. There's no retroactive clarification, because if there was brera, the person could say after dark that the Erev was retroactively acceptable to him while it was still daytime. Ravashi rejects his proof, saying that the mission was distinguishing between hodi'uhu v'lo hodi'uhu, a case where the makers of the Erev informed him the existence of the Erev and where they did not inform him. Rashi explains that brera can only retroactively clarify when the potential for clarification existed. In this case, the person had no knowledge of the Erev until Shabbos began. So the pub owner was outraged that the Eruvei Tchumim Setup Committee forgot to inform him about the existence of the Erev. After his wife participated with her 5-year-old child in mind, which reminds us, Ravasi said, Katan ben Shesh Yotze be'erev imo, a child even in his 6th year can fulfill his obligation to make an Erev with his mother's Erev. Rashi explains that she doesn't need to formally give the child ownership of the Erev, as the child is considered a part of her and it's assumed that she had the child in mind since he cannot be without her. So the pub owner was outraged that the Eruv Tchum Setup Committee forgot to inform him about the existence of the Erev after his wife participated with her 5-year-old child in mind, bringing 2 small weekday meals that tasted quite bland. Which reminds, the next Mishnah asks, Kamahu Shi'ura, what is the quantity required for Eruv Tchumim? Mazon Shtei Su'udas L'Kol Echad V'Echad, food for 2 meals for each and every person who want to participate in Erev. Rabbi Meir says, Mazon L'Kol V'Lo L'Shabbos, the quantity of food for weekday meals, not Shabbos meals. Rabbi Yehuda said, L'Shabbos V'Lo L'Kol, for Shabbos meals and not for weekday meals. But they both intend to rule linearly, meaning it's determined by the meal which is smaller. Rashi explains that Rabbi Meir holds that people eat more at Shabbos meals because of the tastiness of the food, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that people eat less at Shabbos meals because they eat 3 su'udos on Shabbos. Rav Yosef asked Rav Yosef Brei the Rav, whose view does his father accept? And he answered that Rav accepted Rav Meir's opinion of weekday meals. Rav Yosef said that he too accepted Rav Meir's opinion, for if one accepted Rav Yehuda's opinion that a Shabbos meal is smaller than a weekday meal, then there's difficulty with the popular saying, Rav Tachal B'Sima Shchiach, it, referring to the stomach, leaves room for a tasty dish, which lends credence to the notion that people eat more on Shabbos because of the tastiness of the food. Daf Pei Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The reigning pogo stick champ. Pogo stick champ? That must mean we're on Daf Pei Gimel. The reigning pogo stick champ easily jumped over piles of desert, Yerushalmi, and Sipuri saws of grain, which reminds us. The Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis on the base discussed the quantity of bread required to make an Erev, which led to the Gemara analyzing specific measurements. A brice on this stuff teaches that the Yerushalmi saw is large in the saw in the midbar by 6, which Rashi explains to mean what we call a 5th, and the Tzipori saw is larger than the Yashami saw by a sixth, which we refer to as a fifth. The Midbar saw was in use when the Torah was given and had a volume of 144 kibbutzim. The Yashami saw was introduced during the Talmud Bais Rishon and had a volume of 173 kibbutzim, and the Tzipori saw was adopted when the Sanhedrin was located in Tzipori, which occurred during Rebbe's leadership. It was 207 kibbutzim. So the reigning pogo stick champ easily jumped over piles of desert, Yashami, and Tzipori saws of grain, while the kid who ate more than an omer for breakfast got an upset stomach, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa regarding the mitzvah of Chala that the Pasuk says, Reishis Arisosechem, the first of your doughs implies that the dough from which one must separate Chala is your dough that you had in the Midbar. How much was the dough in the Midbar, meaning the daily portion of man? The omer, Sirisa Eifahu, and the omer is 1/10 of an Eifah. The Eifah was equal to 3 saw, so that the omer, according to the size of the dough in the Midbar, was 3/10 of a saw. The Braisa concludes, Ochel b'mida zohar zebari mevorach. One who eats as much as this measure, referring to the minimum quantity specified for challah, is healthy and blessed. If he eats more, he's considered a glutton, and if he eats less than this, his innards are defective. So the reigning pogo stick champ easily jumped over piles of desert, Yerushalmi, and Tzipori saws of grain, while the kid who ate more than an omer for breakfast got an upset stomach when he jumped down to a platform and he couldn't jump back up. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces the principle that the use of an area is assigned to those from whom it's easier to use. The Gemara lists 6 cases of areas accessible to 2 chetzeros who have each made a separate Erev. There's Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in the case of Lezeh B'Shoshol, Lezeh B'Zrika, a given area which is only accessible to the residents in one chetzer by lowering objects in that area, and only accessible to the residents in the other chetzer by throwing objects to the area. Rav holds they're both forbidden since the degree of difficulty in using the area is equal. Shmuel holds that the residents who can lower into the area are permitted to use it because Tashmisho B'Nachas. Its use is with ease. Lowering down requires less effort than throwing up. The Gemara in the next Amud attempts to determine if the halacha is going to Rav or Shmuel, but fails to come to a resolution. Daf Pei Dalet. So the Siman Pei Dalet is a launch pad. A launch pad. So here goes. The residents who lived on the same level as the Merpesis use it as a launch pad. Launch pad. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Dalet. The residents who lived on the same level as the Merpesis use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, which reminds us. The Daf continues with Machlokes being Rav and Shmuel whether Shilshul lowering down is considered easier than Zrika, throwing something up, or not, in terms of determining who has rights to use a given area. The Gemara attempts to bring a support to Shmuel that lowering down is easier from the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated, Anshe Chatzar v'Anshe Merpeses Sheshach v'Lei Irvu, if the residents of a Chatzar and the residents of a Merpeses forgot to make an Erev, Kol Shegavoa Sarat Tfachim v'Merpeses, Pachas Mekanu Chatzar, whichever area is 10 Tfachim high, above the floor of the chatzar belongs to the merpeses, and whichever area is elevated less than this belongs to the chatzar. This seems to support Shmuel, since the residents of the merpeses actually live in an upper story and make use of the merpeses by lowering things to it. The Gemara defends Rav by saying that just as the term merpeses was used in a different case to mean the residents who live on the same level of the merpeses and not above it, so too here. In that case, the residents of the merpeses have access to it directly, which is why they can use the area on Shabbos, and those in the chutz that require throwing up to it cannot. So the residents who lived on the same level as the merpeses use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, as neighbors below standing on a ledge sticking out from the 19th tefach wall, which reminds us, the Gemara attempts to bring a support to Rav from a braisa that states, Anshe chutzar v'anshe aliyah, sheshach v'lo yirvu, if the residents of a chutzar and the residents of a second story forgot to make an erev, the residents of the chutzar may make use of a ledge that protrudes from the wall if it's below 10 tefachim, and the residents in the upper story may make use of the ledge if it's above 10 tefachim. This implies that if the ledge were in the middle and 10 tefachim away from both, it would be restricted from use since it's equally accessible to both. Rav Nachman answered, Hachem b'kosel tisha sarskinen v'ziz yotzim imenu. Here in the Braisa, we're discussing a 19 tefach high wall from which a ledge projects. If the ledge is below 10 tefachim from ground level, it's accessible to the chatzar as a pesach, which makes it exclusively theirs. If it's above 10 tefachim from the ground, it's accessible to the residents of the upper story as a Pesach, making it exclusively theirs. So the residents who lived on the same level as the Merpeses use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, as neighbors below standing on a ledge sticking out from the 19 Tefach wall and the ones above who drew water in case a fire broke out, all eagerly watch. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the support for Rav's position from a Mishnah on Daf Pei Zainam and Beis that states, Shtei Kezuzro Zolomo Mizo, two balconies, where one is higher than the other and the upper balcony has the Mechitza Tluya, a 4x4 tefach hole with a 10 tefach partition coming down from it in order to draw water from below. The Gemara later explains that this partition was built in partnership with the residents of the lower balcony, so that they will have drisus aregel, the right of passage, to use the upper balcony to draw water. Therefore, neither balcony can use the hole without an erev. since the upper balcony uses the hole with Shoshul, and the lower balcony uses it with Zrika and with Shoshul, and the Braisa considers them equals, this seems to support Rav's position. The Gemara answers that the cases where the residents of the lower balcony go up via steps to the upper balcony to get water, which means they also use it only with Shoshul, and even Shmuel agrees it's forbidden for both. Abaya gives a second answer. Daf Pehe, so the symbol for Daf Pehe is a mouth, but we use a dentist. So here goes. The neighborhood dentist, that must mean we're on Daf Pehe. The neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water, which reminds us, reviewed a set in the name of Shmuel, Bor Sheben Shtei Chatzeros Mufleges Mekosel Zerba, Mekosel Zerba. Regarding a water pit between two chatzeros, if the edge of the pit is four tefachim away from each wall, each chatzer can put out a slat of any size from its wall and then fill their pails with water. Rav Yehuda himself, however, holds afil kanya, even something less notable than a slat, like a reed, can be used. Rashi explains that since the pit is in a path that is separated from both chatzeros by a wall, giving them no direct access to it, it doesn't require an Erev. Putting out a slat or reed to permit drawing water from it on Shabbos is to serve as a reminder that access to a jointly owned area is usually only permitted with an Erev. Abai said to Rav Yosef, Rav would not require any reminder. For Rav said, Ein Adam Oso al Chavero derech Avir. A person cannot restrict his fellow in an area only used by him by way of air. In this case, the residents do not have access to the pit by foot, but must draw the water by way of throwing. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chetzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chetzer as they were walking through the gatehouse, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Anosin es eruv be'shar aksadru merpesas eno erev. If one places his erev in a gatehouse, a portico, or a gallery, it's not a valid erev. V'hadar sham eno osrolav. And one who lives in one of these does not restrict the other residents in the chetzer from caring. And eruv chetzeros must be deposited in one of the dwellings of the chetzer, symbolizing the designation of that house as the common dwelling of all residents in the chatzer. The Mir explains that the portico and the gallery are not considered dwellings because they don't have walls, and that the gatehouse is not considered a dwelling since residents in the chatzer are constantly passing through it. Rashi explains that someone living in any of the above places doesn't restrict use of the chatzer and does not need to contribute to the Erev. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chatzer as they were walking through the gatehouse to join them for a late Erev Shabbos get-together meal. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, B'nei Chabur Sheyim Musumin, a group of neighbors who were eating a meal before Shabbos began, which Rashi clarifies to mean all of the neighbors of a chatzer or a mavui, V'kidesh Alein Hayom, and Shabbos came while they were sitting there, without having joined in an Erev Shitav, Pashal Shulchan Somchin Alein Mishum Erev. They may rely on the bread that's on the table for an Erev, and others say that they may rely on it for a Shitav. Tosos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis explains that since the host served them bread to eat, it's as though it's theirs and it's therefore a valid contribution to the Erev. Rava said there's no dispute between these two rulings. One was referring to when they were eating in the house, and the other one was referring to they were eating in the chatzer. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1. Which stuff do you know? The Ravashi explains that if one was not informed about the making of the Erev, then Breira would not work if he found out after Shabbos began. That's on Daf. Hey, base. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that a person cannot put an Erev in a Beish Ashar, Exadro, or Merpeses since they're not dwelling places? That's on Daf. Hey. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you learn that the wealthy deserve kavod because they provide for the poor? That's on Daf. Vav. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you learn the amount of food that must be contributed for a Shitav when there are 18 or more residents? That's on Daf. Hey, good. Number 5. Which of the when Rav Yehuda holds that a wall over a cistern illegally divides the waters? That's on Duff. Pei Vav. Good. Number 6. Which of the when if all the residents of Chatz were eating a meal together and then Shabbos began and they had not made an Erev, the bread they were served serves as the Erev? That's on Duff. Pei Hey. Good. Number 7. Which of the when is assumed that a mother has a mind to include her 5-year-old child in the Erev? That's on Duff. Hey, Bays. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you have a case where a ledge was protruding from a 19 tefach wall? That's on Duff. Hey, Dal. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you have a malchokas if someone goes away for Shabbos without participating in the Erev, whether he restricts the residents of the chatzar from caring? That's on Duff. Hey, Vav. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do you have a malchokas if a path with a water pit in it that is separated from two chatzaros by walls whether it requires a slat or a reed. That's on Daf. Peheg. Great, now we go to the three bonus questions. Number one, which Daf do you learn how it was shown that David and Melch was in fact forgiven? That's on Daf. Lamed and Shabbos. Good. Number two, which Daf do you learn about the importance of saying Ashrei three times a day? That's on Daf. Dalet and Brachas. Good. And number three, which Daf do you learn that Tumas Ziva was decreed for non-Jews? That's on Daf. Pei Gimel and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.